My dad always told me stories about a hidden world where brave warriors watch over and protect us.
Isn't that cool?
Just because you haven't seen something doesn't mean it's not there.
What's going on, girl?
Talking snails.
I'm a slug. No shell over here, baby.
So Epic, a movie that's called Epic that ain't so epic. How many times do you think we're going to use that title name in this review? I gotta say this first before we get into this. If you're going to name your movie Epic, you should make it epic.
Can we... I don't even know where to begin about talking about this convoluted bullshit.
Are you having an epic day, by the way?
You asshole.
Yeah. All right, let me go ahead and give it to a plot here of this. As you say, convoluted, I say just... I want to take that word out and just put the last word you said in there, which is bullshit. But
I mean, it. Okay, let's just go through the plot and then I'll start getting into it.
So, from the creators of Ice Age and Rio, this tells the story of an ongoing battle between the forces of good, who keeps the natural world alive, and the forces of evil, who wish to destroy it. When a teenage girl, played by Amanda voiced by Amanda Seyfried, finds herself magically transported, I'm putting that in quotes too, into the secret universe, she teams up with an elite band of warriors and a crew of comical, larger-than-life figures to save their world and ours. Ooh. How the fuck do they save ours? I don't even make any damn sense.
How do they save ours? To make sure we don't get bug bites anymore.
Okay, well, the movie opens up with a fucking bug being destroyed on a car windshield, so I mean, how the hell does it...
Dude... This movie made me angry, and I know you've been saying all week, Leo, it might not be as bad as you think. It might be good. The reviews are doing good. I'm pissed at critics for this!
I hear your anger or whatever, and I don't know why, to be honest. I mean, the movie is, instead of being called epic, it should have just been called bland and generically epic.
Not only that, not only is it bland and generic, but it has some of the most annoying... protagonists I have seen in a film in a long time.
I think Star Trek's was more annoying.
Oh, no. No, Star Trek's to me was like candy compared to this.
I highly doubt that or whatever. I think, I just want to break down some actors and actresses, voice acting here or whatever. You got Beyonce Knowles and, was it Jason Sudeikis playing the father?
Yes.
I felt like those two were animated in some other movie.
I would agree with you.
Their voices didn't even match the bodies they were.
It was every character in this movie. Okay, so you got those two. You have Amanda Seyfried and Joss Hutcherson as the two main protagonists, if that tells you anything.
Joss Hutcherson, I didn't mind too much.
He annoyed the hell out of me.
Yeah, he didn't bother me at all, whatever. I was just like, whatever. He's barely... he didn't come back into the movie until halfway through or whatever, and I was just like, eh. I thought his voice acting was decent, and Amanda Seyfried, it was just, nobody's voice acting here stood out from all.
Honestly. No, it's just, okay, when we start going through the plot, I'll explain why those two characters annoyed the shit out of me.
I got a reason why I think you may be annoyed by him, because, but we'll get into that once we get to the end.
Right.
Because I would agree with you if that's the reason why then.
Right, and the other voice actors in this are Aziz Ansari and Chris O'Donnell, I believe? You had to do it. You had to remind me, didn't you?
What in the fuck was he doing in this? What did that serve?
No purpose. No purpose.
No purpose whatsoever, whatever.
Christoph Waltz is the bad guy, but, like, you know, Christoph Waltz has played a great bad guy. He played a Jew hunter. He played a great guy in Django Unchained. What do they have him do in this movie? Ooga booga! That's it.
Alright, so, yeah, Christoph Waltz. I mean, like I was saying earlier, all you gotta do is put, like, a nigga or a Jew in there or whatever, and he's perfect for a film, whatever. But if you put some little human shields in there as called leaf people, then, you know, he ain't really giving much to do these days.
No, they literally used him in this movie. Like, people were like, but Christoph Waltz is in it. Is he good or not? I was like, here's the bulk of what he does in the movie. Ooga booga, I'm evil. That's it.
I like how people say Christoph Waltz was good in the movie. I was like, he wasn't even in the movie. His voice was in the movie.
He's barely in it. Instead, he throws his son, voiced by Blake Anderson, who every time I hear him or see him in a movie, I just want to punch the screen.
And I agree with you on the whole Christoph Waltz thing, and I thought I want to say he was one of the best. Him and, you know, him and Colin Farrell, I thought, were the best voices in here.
Yeah, and Colin Farrell leaves for a good chunk of the movie.
Chris, Colin Farrell, it was, this is his, as a matter of fact, I think I liked him out of anybody, whatever. Compared to everybody else that was standing next to him, everybody else in this movie was shit. Whenever it went back to the two leads, or whatever, you just look at them and go like, where's Colin Farrell's character at? What was his name, Ronan?
Yeah, Ronan, because the other two characters are so annoying and boring, and it's, you know, like in movies when they have those angsty teenage characters and how they usually have them turn around at the end? Yeah, this movie does that for the whole movie, and when, you're right, when Colin Farrell, or even Jason Sudeikis is not near those characters, it is the most excruciatingly annoying thing to watch.
Even with Jason Sudeikis' character, which I didn't, like, nobody annoyed me to the point where I was, like, angry or whatever, but with Jason Sudeikis' character, it felt like he was so out of this movie that he didn't belong in there, that he was just too over the top for something of a world that I was just like, it doesn't even fit this world that we're in right now, though.
Yeah, it's just, there's so much, like, about this movie that, okay, the core idea is there. I can get why someone said that, huh, this might actually be a cool idea. It was just so mishandled and like, the characterization is horrible besides Colin Farrell, and the animation's not that good.
No, the animation on, especially Beyonce's character who plays Queen Tara, I thought she looked like shit.
I thought everyone except Colin Farrell's character just looked like it seemed out of place and out of character.
What about when the movie opens up and you see, you don't see the upper half body part of Jason Sudeikis, but you see somebody running in the grass or whatever, and you see his legs? I kind of thought that looked good. Then when it zoomed out and then it showed his face, I was like, oh.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That was, he. You know what he looked like? He looked like a younger version of, you ever see, remember the short before Bug's Life of the two guys playing chess?
Yes.
He looked like a younger version of him.
I do remember that.
Yeah, he looks like a younger version of the guy playing chess, and it's like, what the hell?
Whatever. But yeah, when you see that, whatever, when I saw his legs running, I was just like, wow, I thought this was an animated film, whatever. And then it zoomed, I was like, oh yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. And but, hey,
carrying on with the story here, go ahead and zoom that up or whatever, whenever we get done talking shit about these characters.
All right, I guess I'll do it. I gotta,
it's
be
pretty
honest,
much a fish out of water story.
That's the best way to describe it. Okay, I saw this on Saturday. I gotta be honest with you. This proves how bad this movie is. I don't remember a lot about it. It just kind
of... remember a lot of what? What was that?
I don't remember a lot about it, but here's... I'll go as much as I can remember, so...
No, it's forgettable. I agree with you 100% on everything you just said right now. I'm probably not just as angry as you are, but it is just a forgettable, generic anime film that you might catch on, not even the Disney Channel. Disney Channel produced better than that animation or whatever, but just
right
out of the blue, anywhere, Netflix maybe.
All right, so the story follows MK, who's voiced by Amanda Seyfried. She's in her 20s, and her dad is eccentric scientist Professor Bumba, played by Jason.
Her mother just passed.
Yeah, and her mom just died, and he's played by Jason Sudeikis. Bamba is a scientist who's really into his job, which you kind of have to admire him for, and he's trying to figure out if there are these little people called Leafmen who are fighting the Boggins. And the Boggins are led by Mandrake, and the Leaf people are led by Ronan and his protege, Nod. Ronan is voiced by Farrell, Mandrake is voiced by Christoph Waltz, and Nod is voiced by Josh Hutcherson.
Mm-hmm.
So we move on to the Leaf people work for the Queen of the Forest, Queen Tara, who is voiced by Beyonce Knowles, and she has two kind of guards that are snails, which makes no sense. But
well, they're guard, they're safekeepers of the pods that they have to have, whatever. Because what they do is they keep it fresh or whatever and shit like that. So basically, they're not really guards.
They're kind of there to make sure that everything's okay in the forest. And they're voiced by Aziz Ansari and Chris O'Dowd.
It's pretty much Batman handing over the cowl to Joseph Gordon-Levitt. No,
don't compare that movie to this. Don't do it.
Okay, well, then it could be Transformers when Mega, the Allspark and bullshit.
Fine, that's more appropriate since that movie's shit, too.
Yeah.
The Boggins attack Queen Tara and the slugs, and in the attack, Mandrake's son, Daga? Dadgum
comically dies, whatever. But
and he's voice
more of the story is more about that fucking pod or whatever. Beyonce knows has to pick a pod on a certain day or whatever because I don't even remember.
Yeah,
it was something about that pod that I guess kept life throughout the forest, no matter how dark it was. But it turns out Beyonce's character Queen Tara, she ends up getting killed.
Right, and. So, you are correct. It's that pod basically makes sure everything's okay in the forest.
It's the Allspark. It really...
Right, exactly. So Mandrake wants revenge on the Leaf people for killing his son, which, frankly, good for them, because he's voiced by Blake Anderson. Anytime he dies in anything, I always give a round of applause.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny how he died, too, whatever, because Colin Farrell was the one that murdered him.
Right, and I don't know if you know... You know who Blake Anderson is, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he and that whole workaholics group, I hope they all die real quickly in Hollywood.
Thank God. I'm glad we're not the only one on here or whatever. But
that show annoys the living shit out of me.
I watched it once and couldn't stand it. But back on this one or whatever, yeah. And honestly, with his voice acting, you could tell it was him, too. If you've ever seen the show Workaholics or whatever, you can just go out and play and just like, I mean, there's nothing great about any of the voice acting. I mean, with Colin Farrell's character... I'm not even going to give so much credit on the voice acting. It was just, all the voice acting here was just decent or generic, and to the point where Colin Farrell's character, they gave that character so much depth.
Right.
As far as him and the queen and all that, or whatever, and the emotions he showed on his face or whatever, and the reactions he had or whatever, and just his story alone, where I was like, how don't we just follow this character?
That's it. Thank you. Thank you. You just hit my main problem with the movie. I would have much rather, because apparently this is based off a book, and the book just follows him.
And see, the thing, that didn't annoy me about Amanda Seyfried's character or whatever is that when she's with Ronan or whatever and Nod, she's pretty much just like, why we bring him along or whatever. They have no interest in each other whatsoever, whatever. But just like any other movie or whatever, they have to...
They have to fall in...
I said this in, but I said I'm getting... I think it was... No, it wasn't that. But I was going to say... I'm getting sick and tired of them just crowbarring love interests just for the sake of the movie-going people now, whatever. It's like, these two had no interest in each other whatsoever. Maybe they was growing a little charm to each other, but it had no intentions of what happens toward the end of what she did to him. And I'm just looking at that like, wow, they sure did force that in there.
It's also creepy to think about, because it's like, okay, we know at the end she's going to get bigger again, so how is this relationship going to work? Is he just going to crawl up and go cave adventuring to turn her on? Like,
she's going to stick him in his vagina. I think it's going to work. Come on now.
It's like, I just...
Hey, I ain't going to lie. I'd be interested in watching that.
No. Oh. Lovelace, part two.
I'd like to see those slugs and those nipples.
Ugh. I'm going to get on that, too, actually. So, MK... After one of her dad's experiments, shrinks her down. So
it wasn't after her dad experiment. It was after the queen got murdered or whatever.
Oh, right. And then see,
she blessed the pod and then shrink down the Amanda Safer. And I was like, bitch, why you do that?
What
was the point of that? There was no point at all to that.
Yeah, you said, I don't know why you called it convoluted. Are you now starting to figure out why I call this convoluted bullshit?
No, I didn't say why you called it convoluted. I said scratch it out. Damn, you're not even paying attention to me.
So, Queen Tara tells MK that she has to take the pod to a glowworm named Nimgaloo.
Fuck is a glowworm? Oh, okay.
And Nimgaloo is voiced by Steve Tyler. If that tells you anything about who the hell cast this movie.
Who is the casting director on this fucking...
They need to get fired.
I almost feel like they just said, we got Josh Hutcherson, Amanda Seyfried, Beyonce Knowles, and Colin Farrell. We don't need any more. We got Josh Hutcherson and Amanda Seyfried for that younger crowd to get them in here. Obviously, they're going to come in anyway because it's kids. You got Beyonce Knowles, the black females. And we got Christoph Waltz to attract the older audience or whatever. You got an Academy Award. Let's go see this, right. Whatever. So,
and
everybody else, they just said, fuck it. We don't care about everybody else.
No, what they said was, we got Amanda Seyfried and we got Josh Hutcherson. We need that pre-teen audience. Who do pre-teens like? Oh, they like music. Okay, we got to get Steve Tyler and Pitbull because kids love their music.
You know, the funny thing about this is they tried to pitch this movie to Pixar, and Pixar said, the fuck we won't?
No, that actually is a good point to bring up. That's actually got pitched to Pixar first, and Pixar went like, we're better than that. But you did Cars 2, we're still better than that.
I don't think even Pixar did that. I think they just said, security. Get this goddamn person out of here. He's crazy.
Yeah. So who do they go to? They go to Blue Skies, who say, hey, we did this, Merce. We can't do any worse.
But then again, they did do Rio. Rio was actually kind of actually entertaining at sometimes, whatever. So, Rio. You know, but
Rio's okay.
It's yeah, okay. Rio's okay. I think that's probably what that movie made a lot of money. And it was pretty well animated, I must say.
I think isn't 2 coming out later this year, or is that next year?
Next year.
Okay, so back onto this movie. After meeting, MK then meets everyone and is like confused and scared and doesn't know what the hell is going on.
She really? I never got any emotion off her being scared or anything. I just thought she was just going with emotion.
I kind of did, but it was just some animation and how they animated her. If you would have went off just Siegfried's voice acting, yeah, you couldn't tell.
Yeah, because I was just staring at her, and it seemed like she really had no real trauma. But I do like one line where she keeps saying, I just want to go home, whatever. And then the slug was like, or not the slug, the glowworm was just like, why did you leave in the first place? And I was like, oh, thank you.
Because we'll get to that after we get to the plot, but I do got to bring up my main problem with this movie. Oh, yeah, we should also mention that the snails are both... Oh, I did mention that they're voiced by Aziz Ansari and Chris O'Dowd, and they are annoying, but...
Yeah, they are. I mean, they're Tyrese and Ludacris, but...
but Tyrese and Ludacris were funny.
No, I don't know to you they were.
Yeah, no, I agree.
They were stepping and fetching for all I care, whatever.
So
fucking Sanford and Son, if you ask me, whatever, but not Black.
Yeah, so Ronan is still trying to find Nod because Nod early in the movie is like, I don't want to do this anymore. And
pretty much throws a bitch fit, says you don't have to take care of me because Ronan feels like he owes a responsibility to them because apparently Nod's father was with Ronan when he died.
Right. And so Ronan discovers that Nod has entered a race against creatures, which is a weird thing.
Pretty much everything that you ever thought of in the forest is alive. Like, as far as, like, flowers, tree branches and shit like that, whatever. Everything is alive, whatever. So, Nod is pretty much racing just other insects.
Right.
I thought it was either Bug's Life or ants again. I was looking at this like, oh my god.
I was looking at it like, oh, wow, this is the pod race. This is the actual kind of cool part that keeps everyone's attention in this shitty movie.
I looked at that and said, can we cut this out?
Oh, okay. Well, that's where you and I disagree. So then we go...
I'm saying, can we cut this out as in the movie? I didn't say cut this out in the review.
Yeah, I know. So we then meet a tough frog named Buffo, I think was his name?
He was supposed to be tough. Good lord. Made some frog legs out of his ass, whatever.
Yeah,
and the fucking song Pitbull.
Yeah, Buffo's voiced by Pitbull, as if the voice cast gets no worse.
Oh my god, it took a steep down shit hill when he came in or whatever.
Right.
Which comes up to a scene with Christoph Waltz, and he displays that he can destroy a whole tree in like the single jump. I was just like, so what is the limit of these people's power? I mean, they can destroy right. Fucking trees like that. I mean, a human can't even do that.
Right. So, after Ronan comes in to save Nod from Buffo, and Nod reluctantly, after having his life saved, then goes, oh, fine, I'll go back to you. Ugh.
And the reason why he says that is because he sees this hot-ass Amanda Seyfried here or whatever.
That's true. It's just like,
which I got to say, that animated looked better than she does in real life. But you know.
That the animation on her eyes is not as big as her regular eyes.
Yeah, but she is cockeyed. I don't know if you noticed that or whatever in the movie. Her eyes was looking all over the place. I was looking like that. I was like, oh my gosh, she got the Forrest Whitaker syndrome going right now.
How am I
going
to remember that when I can't even remember half the damn plot?
Oh, because you've never seen a movie with me. I'd be eyeballing women.
That's true. It is gonna be like weird whenever we see a movie together for the first time. And you're like, look at the eyeballs, man. It's like, dude, there's an explosion in the background. You really think I'm paying attention to the eyeballs? Shut up.
Fucking Transformers 4. I can see you now, man. This plot is stupid. I'm looking. Did you see that hot woman running in the background? Nobody noticed her. How could I notice there were robots? But you didn't see that woman with the shorts on running. Oh my god, Lehu, pay attention, man.
Why do you think I care? Anywho, they find Nimgaloo, who pretty much tells them that...
No, his names are hard to pronounce, I know.
Yeah, he pretty much tells them that, you know, hey, MK, we can save you, and here's how you're gonna save the forest. Yay.
We have to save the forest. I don't understand that. There was...
Yeah.
Okay, Beyonce knows character. She's up in here, and she's pretty much like, oh, I need you and everything, but she doesn't do jack shit in this movie, Amanda Seyfried's character.
I know.
She doesn't do nothing.
I know. There's no motivation. They never really explain motivation for
her. Her whole plan was, oh, I can just go get my father. I looked at him and was like, really?
Yeah. My father will help us even though I'm small, and I'm just like, wait, you ran away from him. Oh, god damn it. But then they take a magical ride on a deer, and magically Nod and MK fall in love.
Really? I mean, that is such a stretch in this movie.
I know. I know.
I tell you, it just crowbarred. How many fucking movies have I seen where the movie could be at least interesting, it could be edgy, it could be anything but that, whatever, but they feel the need to just crowbar a scene with a love interest in it or whatever, even though two characters have no chemistry whatsoever.
I know. It's just, you're right. It feels like it's crowbarred in. It feels like it's absolutely crowbarred in because of the first half of the movie, these two are just like, I hate my dad. I hate the person who's watching after me, making sure I don't die. Ugh. And then like,
pretty much, yeah.
And then like these two magically ride on a deer. It's like, is there like pheromones on the deer that suddenly make them look like, you know what? Maybe life's not so bad.
But even then, the whole scene when they first meet, she's just like, I'm not putting my hands around you. I don't know you. And then when she gets back on with Colin Farrell, Ronan, she's just like, why did we bring him? She looks at him disgusted. And I can see where she could be like, okay, maybe I'll let my guard down a little bit, whatever. He's showing me around the area or whatever. And, you know, I'm having fun right now, whatever. I can see. But not to the point where it gets to the point where, like, I love him.
Yeah. So Mandrake finally comes back into the picture and kidnaps the two slugs and gets the pod, which he hopes to bloom evilly to destroy the forest.
Since it's blooming in the darkness or whatever, it turns into it'll spawn another evil son for him. Apparently, these people don't have sex in this world, so what they do to have kids, whatever, is they have plants.
Oh, mother of God!
So you can already tell I'm not liking this.
I think you can already tell I'm not liking this. So.
So basically, he takes the pod back to his area or whatever, because his area is just a fucking wasteland or whatever, and he's just waiting until the moon to come, so that way he'll have another dark sun or whatever, because since the queen died or whatever, if it was to be born into the light or whatever, and where everything's all gloomy and flowery and shit or whatever, another queen would prevail from it.
Right. So, they go back to MK's house to try to find disguises where MK's father catches them, freaks the hell out.
You would think, after seeing all the fucking shit that he has, at least somebody would go, maybe you're onto something here. Who the fuck has a little carrier like this, whatever? I mean,
right.
I mean, he has little battle suits and armors and stuff like that, whatever, like in a fucking portrait, and people still call him crazy. I'm like, who the hell makes this?
Right. And before MK and all of them leave after her dad freaks and faints, she marks on a map with a red pin where the Leafman territory is for her father.
Mm-hmm.
So when they reach the Bogganland, they like you said earlier, they realize it's a barren, dead wasteland of evil.
Mm-hmm. One other thing in here too is might be an occurring joke in here. There's a three-legged dog in here. How did that dog move so fast?
Okay, I can actually answer that because my aunt had a three-legged dog, and those.
Are you serious?
Yeah, no. He got my aunt's dog got hit by a car when it was 3 years old.
Oh my!
So it was either have a $25,000 surgery to repair his leg or just go three-legged, and they said, "Well, he's fine three-legged. Let's just do that."
I have a soft spot for crippled animals and stuff like that, whatever. But this one, I was just looking at him like, something's wrong with that dog.
No, I trust me, my aunt's dog that was three-legged, I love that golden retriever, and he was fast. Like, it would be funny because like squirrels would look at him and be like, three legs. Oh shit.
I guess they would have to move fast because in order to move slow, they'd keep falling most of the time.
Whatever, right, so. They adapt to it. They really do adapt to it.
Okay, I guess that makes sense then. All right, so...
Yeah, but not the point. So MK and the others go to the Boggin area to try to save them and get the pod back. Ronan ends up sacrificing himself to make sure that they can get it.
You know what this scene does, though? Instead of building up the two main characters, it just builds Ronan's character up more.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, and I mean, it just made him more just to the point where it's like, wow, this guy is he's a natural-born leader, sympathetic, he's willing to make sacrifices or whatever. I was like, this guy is awesome. I was like, and then when he sacrificed himself, that was probably the only time I ever felt an emotion in the film. I was just like, oh, man.
That's true, because like, when he's like, oh, all of you go, I'll stay behind. It's like, no, I don't want you to leave. You're the only good part.
Yeah, exactly, whatever. And for some the part of me or whatever, since I was like, this is a kid's film, whatever, I was like, I bet he lives, whatever. And I was like, I bet he whoops the shit out of all those Boggins in there, too.
Yeah. Because
those Boggins were just fucking stormtroopers.
Right. So, turns out P1 is correct. Because that's exactly what happens.
Stormtroopers?
Oh. No, no, no. That would have been really interesting to see that. That would have gotten my attention quickly.
Then we would have had the Clone Wars on our hands, and that's a whole other goddamn piece of shit. But anyway. Right.
So, MK, you know what? Screw it. We know how this is going to end. They find the pod. They save everyone. They defeat Mandrake. Yada, yada, yada. She gets turned back to normal. And she ends up, like, helping her dad with her experiments and, you know, still keeping up with Nod and all of them and talking to them on a regular basis. The end.
That pretty much wraps that all up. This movie gave me more questions than answers. I was... Okay, towards the end of the film, in the last fight scenes, whatever, which I gotta say, you know what? The movie opens up with Josh Hutcherson's character, Nod. The way he was moving in 3D and everything, it looked great. I ain't gonna lie. That scene alone right there was looking pretty good or whatever. But I gotta say, if Christoph Waltz's character had all these goddamn bats and minions, why didn't he just rampage this place a long time ago?
Because it's a kid's movie. That would go against the logic of the bad guy losing.
Oh my god, whatever, because I'm like, because did you see the fucking, the minions he had was covering up a whole goddamn moon.
I know, I know.
And but, I feel like that is such like a cop-out to say whatever, especially nowadays saying that it's a kid's movie or whatever. When we see so many kids movies that, I mean, last year alone, whatever, with Rise of the Guardians and Paranorman or whatever, so many kids movies that adapt to adult situations, whatever, and then to see this. It's kind of like, we're really reverting back to saying
this,
it's a kid's movie.
Right. This, honestly, you know what? I probably would have given this movie a pass if I had not seen Rise of the Guardians.
Mm.
Because this is an idea like Rise of the Guardians, where it's a very out there idea. Like, it's a creative concept. It's just the difference between Rise of the Guardians and this is exactly what you said. Rise of the Guardians took the adult elements and ran with them and did great things with them. And this one just goes the most generic route you could think of. And every time there's a situation that could become adult, it just treats a movie, it treats the audience like a kid, where it's like, hey, everything's gonna be okay. Don't worry. Nothing bad happens in this universe.
Yeah, there was no consequences whatsoever in the film. And when it came to that point where I saw all the villains, I was like, oh, how the good guys are gonna win. And then when Amanda Seyfried just says, my dad, and I just go like, oh. That seems simple. I mean,
yeah. What's she gonna do? Oh, yeah, that's right. She could go get her dad to step on all of them.
Yeah, or shit. he could just throw his hand and just swat them all down or whatever. I mean, you know, I mean,
right.
Other than that, or whatever. I mean, saying that still, I just never was annoyed in the film. Or whatever. I just looked at it and was just like, this is. I guess because I never had any standards in the first place going into the film. I was talking about shit about the movie before it even came in, so my standards were just like. Meh, they're at meth level or whatever. And then when I saw it, I was just like, yeah, I kind of expected most of this, even though I'm saying that, oh, I can't believe they did this, or isn't it kind of a cop-out to go back to saying that, whatever. But I had no expectations walking into the film, so I guess I didn't get as angry as you are. And some of the stuff didn't annoy me. I actually, like the first, when it opens up with Nod sliding down the tree branches and stuff, like I actually enjoyed that part, whatever. That was for like a minute. And Colin Farrell's character was really good. Christoph Waltz, I thought his voice acting was great in this. I actually want to see him do more anime now or whatever, animation stuff or whatever, but he just wasn't given anything to do.
No, I agree.
And everybody else, I disagree with you on 100% as far as that.
Yeah, The reason this movie annoyed and pissed me off was because you have two central characters that are annoying, rebellious teenagers that are pieces of shit, and just you don't like them whatsoever. You don't want to root for them. So when the movie forces you to do so, you're just like, no.
And that's the thing, too. I never felt like I should be rooting for anyone in the movie, except for Ronan.
Right. Ronan's the only character that you like, and every time he leaves the screen, you're left with the characters that are annoying, and you're like, oh, god damn it.
And I bet the studio knew that, too. And I bet that's why they had him in the film for as long as he was, whatever. Because you expect him just to show up for two scenes or whatever, but he was in there for a good while before they took him out and then they brought him back or whatever.
Right.
I think they probably knew that, but then they probably did what you did and said, we got to make this up for the kids, though.
Right. And, you know, all the voice acting, besides Colin Farrell and Christoph Waltz, is just goddamn horrible. It's just fucking atrocious.
See, and where you say the voice acting... Excuse me, were the voice acting atrocious? I think the character's design was atrocious.
I think it's a little column A, little column B. I think they're both terrible.
Yeah. I would agree with you on that, whatever. I think voice acting, it was just generic. I felt anything into it or whatever. I mean, it's meh.
It was straight up annoying because here's my thing with the animation and voice acting. You should not think about the actor who is voicing them. You should get more drawn in the character. That's why I love Hotel Transylvania, because I didn't look at all the names. I looked more at the characters themselves and how they were quirky, and I liked all of them. And I remember when I saw Hotel Transylvania, my friends were shocked that Dracula was Adam Sandler.
I wasn't. I fucking heard that voice back in his older days, whatever.
Right, but not the point.
I know that shit like
you know, you know, when you watch this movie and, you know, when you see Nimba or whatever the hell his name is, you know immediately, oh, that's the guy who sings for Aerosmith and is annoying and creepy on American Idol. Or when you hear the Big Frog, it's, oh, that's the guy who does every generic techno song, Pitbull.
That's funny you bring up Hotel Transylvania because I thought the voice acting in that was generic as well, whatever, because they all, I could tell each and whoever, who that person was, whatever. With this one so much, whatever, I like that movie or whatever, like this one. It just didn't annoy me because I had no high expectations in the film, or whatever. So, meh. I mean, something called epic or whatever, and had an epic fail to it. You know,
yeah, epically bullshit. But
that's 10 times we said it now.
I don't even care. I just can we end this? Can I give it my fuck it?
Oh, you already gave your right. All right.
Yeah. Yes. No, this is getting a straight up fuck it for me. I think there's nothing redeeming about this movie. I think this movie is downright annoying and offensive towards its audience because of how much it doesn't try and it's blatantly obvious.
I don't think you can say annoying to its audience because this audience is kids and.
Okay, good point. Good point. But to kids, you know, to kids, it does what it has to do. It takes the bare bones necessities to do what it has to do. But for people like us, you can see just how lazy and they didn't try with this.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree with that point. So I can't say it's annoying to its audience because its audience I was in the theater with and they was actually having a good-ass time. Whatever,
right. So. Okay, fair enough. That was the wrong thing to say. But I'm giving this a fuck it because if you say, you know... Here's my things with where I give movies bad reviews. If you are so lazy and you don't try enough that you're saying fuck you to me, I'm going to say fuck you right back.
Yeah. For me, I'm going to give it a scream it. It didn't bother me as much, whatever. I wasn't annoyed. I had no expectation walking. When I just looked at it, I was just like, eh. Generic anime film of the year.
Yeah.
Check that off or whatever. I did enjoy Colin Farrell's character or whatever. There's about three things, maybe four or five things I really liked in here or whatever, you know, about that. But I give it a stream or whatever. I didn't walk out of here angry or whatever. I just looked at it and it's like, you will be forgotten in 3, 2, what was that movie again?
Well played. Well played.
So we got to fuck it in the streaming. All right then, folks, that's epic.
I did it. I did it, P1. I gave my first fuck it.
Oh, I'm so proud of you.
With I'm many so more to come.
Moving on up now, whatever. Proud of you. This epic bullshit we saw.
Yeah. So what's our next one? Because this was fun.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. No, it's fun.
No, we got Smurfs 2 before that. I know it's going to be that.
Yes.
How about this?
You know, you're just grossing us out, right?
And Beyonce knows.
You're here for a reason. Sometimes the connections aren't clear, but they're always there.
You're totally my hero!
Let's move.
You might want to hang on.
Run! Epic.
fly, huh?
What's it like having such a short life cycle?
It's great, mister. When I grow up,
I'm gonna
wish I had done more with my life, sonny.
Don't!